Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritam naram jaiva narottamam devim sarasatim vyasam tito jayo diriyat nishta prayasu bhajvesu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatya tamashoki bhaktir bhavati naistiki nigama kalpaturu garitam padam shukamukaram itajvavisamitam pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam mahorahori sikubhubi bhavakaham Krishna sadama bhagade dhamigimnihi shaha karunasta dishamisha paranako dhunoditaham Tvamapiya dhavasuta vishutam vibhu samapideyena vidam vidutsiram prakyahidahur mahordarittaram samklesha nirvanamusanti nanyataham. So it's the fifth verse here in the... Okay. Sirani kim pati na shanti di shanti biksham. Nevangripa parabrita sarot saritopya ayusham. Rudhaguya kim ajito vati na pashamam. Kajmad bhajanti kavayo dana dirman dandana. Sirani kim pati na shanti di shanti piksham. Nevhangripa parabrita sarito piyayusham. Rudhaguya kim ajito bati no pashanan. Kajmad bhajanti kavayo dana dharma dan dan. Tirani kim panti na shanti di shanti biksham. Devam ripa para brito shati purusham. Kashmat bhajanti kavayo dana dharma dandan. Yani kim pati na shanti dikshani bisham. Nevam rito parito kipati jisham. Rudhagyo kim achivayam upashamam. Kajmad bhajanti kavayo dana durmandanan. Sirani kim pati na shanti di shanti biksham. Naivam grita para bhito jariyashusham. Rudham gira kima chito vati no pashanam. Kasmad bhajanti tanyam tu tanyantanam. Sirani kim pati na shanti di shanti biksham. Evang ripa parabrita saritopi ashusham. Rudha guyauki machito vati no pashamam. Ladies, Tirani kim bhati na shanti di shanti bhiksham. Evam vita parita haram shisham. Buddha kuyo kim ajito vati poshmam. Kachmad bhajanti kabayo dhana dharmandanaham. Kirani kim pati na shanti di shani bhiksham. Nevangrita parabrita sharuto piyosham. Rudha kuyaki majita vati no pashamam. Kasmad bhajanti kavayo danya dharmandanam. Kirani kim pati na shanti di shanti bhiksham. Nevangrita parabrita sarito piyashusham. Rudha giro kim ajito vati no pashamam. Kashmad bhajanti kavayo dhanadur mandaram. Tirani, torn clothes. Kim, weather. Pati, on the road. Na, not. Shanti, there is. Dishanti, given charity. Bhiksham, alms. Na, not. Eva, also. Angripa, the trees. Parabrita, one who maintains others. Sarita, the rivers. Api, also. Ayushan, have dried up. Rudha, closed. Guya, caves. Kim, weather. Ajita, the Almighty Lord. Avati, give protection. Na, not. Upasanam, the surrendered soul. Kasmad, what for then? Vajanti, flatters. Kavaya, the learned. Dana, wealth. Dharmada undone, too intoxicated by. Translation, please repeat. Are there no torn clothes lying on the common road? You still do repeating the verse, right? The whole verse? So I do the whole verse. Okay. So I'll just say the whole verse. Continuing on, do the trees which exist for maintaining others no longer give alms and charity? Do the rivers being dried up no longer supply water to the thirsty? Are the caves of the mountains now closed? Or above all, does the Almighty Lord not protect the fully surrendered souls? Why then do the learned sage go to flatter those who are intoxicated by hard-earned wealth? So we do it all together. Are there no torn clothes lying in the common road? Do the trees which exist for maintaining others no longer give alms and charity? Do the rivers being dried up no longer supply water to the thirsty? Are the caves of the mountains now closed? Or above all, does the Almighty Lord not protect the fully surrendered souls? Why then do the learned sages go to flatter those who are intoxicated by hard-earned wealth? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The renounced order of life is never meant for begging or living at the cost of others as a parasite. According to the dictionary, a parasite is a sycophant who lives at the cost of society without making any contribution. The renounced order is meant for contributing something substantial to society and not depending on the earnings of the householders. On the contrary, acceptance of alms from the householders by the bona fide mendicant is an opportunity afforded by the saint for the tangible benefit of the donor. In the Sanatana Dharma institution, alms giving to a mendicant is part of a householder's duty, and it is advised in the scriptures that the householder should treat the mendicants as their family children and should provide them with food, clothing, etc. without being asked. Pseudo-mendicants, therefore, should not take advantage of the charitable disposition of the faithful householders. The first duty of a person in the renounced order of life is to contribute some literary work for the benefit of the human being in order to give him realized direction towards self-realization. Among the other duties in the renounced order of life of Srila Sanatana, Srila Rupa, and the other Goswamis of Vrindavan, the foremost duty discharged by them was to hold learned discourses amongst themselves at Seva Kunj, Vrindavan, the spot where Sri Sri Radhadhar temple was established by Srila Jiva Goswami and where the actual Samadhi tombs of Srila Rupa and Sri Jiva Goswami are laid. For the benefit of all in human society, they left behind them immense literatures of transcendental importance. Similarly, all the acharyas who voluntarily accepted the renounced order of life aimed at benefiting human society and not at living a comfortable or irresponsible life at the cost of others. However, those who cannot give any contribution should not go to the householders for food, for such mendicants asking bread from the householders are an insult to the highest order. Sukadeva Goswami gave this warning especially for those mendicants who adopt this line of profession to solve their economic problems. Such mendicants are in abundance in the age of Kali. When a man becomes a mendicant willfully or by circumstances, he must be of firm faith and conviction that the Supreme Lord is the maintainer of all living beings everywhere in the universe. Why then would he neglect the maintenance of a surrendered soul who is 100% engaged in the service of the Lord? A common master looks to the necessities of his servant, so how much more would the all-powerful, all-opulent Supreme Lord look after the necessities of life for a fully surrendered soul? The general rule is that a mendicant devotee will accept a simple small loincloth without asking anyone to give it in charity. He simply salvages it from the rejected torn cloth thrown in the street. When he is hungry, he may go to a magnanimous tree which drops fruits. And when he is thirsty, he may drink water from the flowing river. He does not require to live in a comfortable house, but should find a cave in the hills and not be afraid of jungle animals, keeping faith in God who lives in everyone's heart. The Lord may dictate to tigers and other jungle animals not to disturb his devotee. Haridas Thakur, a great devotee of Lord Sri Chaitanya, used to live in such a cave, and by chance a great venomous snake was a co-partner of the cave. Some admirer of Thakur Haridas, who had to visit the Thakur every day, feared the snake and suggested that the Thakur leave that place. Because his devotees were afraid of the snake and they were regularly visiting the cave, Thakur Haridas agreed to the proposal on their account. But as soon as this was settled, the snake actually crawled out of its hole in the cave and left the cave for good before everyone present. By the dictation of the Lord, who lived also within the heart of the snake gave preference to Haridas and decided to leave the place and not disturb him. So this is a tangible example of how the Lord gives protection to a bona fide devotee like Thakur Haridas. According to the regulations of Sanatana Dharma Institution, one is trained from the beginning to depend fully on the protection of the Lord in all circumstances. The path of renunciation is recommended for acceptance by one who is fully accomplished and fully purified in his existence. This stage is also described in the Bhagavad Gita as Deva Shampat. A human being is required to accumulate Deva Shampat or spiritual assets, otherwise the next alternative, Ashuripan Shampat, or material assets will overcome him disproportionately, and thus one will be forced into the entanglement of different miseries of the material world. A sannyasi should always live alone without company, and he must be fearless. He should never be afraid of living alone, although he is never alone. The Lord is residing in everyone's heart, and unless one is purified by the prescribed process, one will feel that he is alone. But a man in the renounced order of life must be purified by the process. Thus he will feel the presence of the Lord everywhere, and will have nothing to fear, such as being without any company. Everyone can become a fearless and honest person if his very existence is purified by discharging the prescribed duty for each and every order of life. one become fixed in one's prescribed duty by faithful oral reception of Vedic instructions and assimilation of the essence of Vedic knowledge by devotional service to the Lord. Take a break here. Catch one's breath. Om Agyanati Maranda Syangana Angana Sadakya Chaksurun Miritam Yena Tajmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stavitam Yena Bhutare Swayam Rupa Karamayam Tadati Svaparandikam Vandeham Sri Guru Siyata Parakam Rishi Gurun Vaishnavam Sya Sri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Varaganatam Vitam Stam Sadevam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sayatam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padun Sahagana Lalita Shivishikan Vitam Stam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sri Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama, Rama Hare Hare Sukadeva Goswami is dressed in air. He's the speaker. Sukadeva Goswami is dressed the speaker here is himself renounced to the point that he's dressed only in air. A couple of verses earlier, he says, Ata kavya namashu yavadartat syarat apramaya tobya vashaya bhute siddhe nyatatana parisaram tatra samiksamanam. Kavir, learned men, Namashu, this world of names, it's like the foam on top of the sea waves, has no substantiality, ephemeral. So in this Namashu, Yavad Artha. Artha means, you know, energy for fruits, for results, gain. If you're a businessman, it means money, profits. But yavad artat means only those gains which are necessary. It's not that we don't need some basic necessities. We need to satisfy our appetites, we need shelter, we need transportation. Sukadeva Goswami, the ultimate renunciate, is not slamming all needs. That's not his point. His point is pramatta. Don't get carried away. See what I'm saying? Gandhi, of course, said there's plenty for everyone's need, but not enough for one's greed. So need is fine, but don't let it cross over into greed. Everyone knows the normal, healthy temperature. You need some temperature in the body, isn't it? You need some temperature. A 98.6 is considered good, healthy. Well, if someone thinks, well, 98.6 is good, 103 would be better. No. You maintain a certain normal temperature for smooth functioning, but then don't think that, you know, because I have X, Y, and Z, now I need A, B, C, D, E, F too. Don't get pramatta. Don't get maddened by the acquisition of material things. Just maintain what is minimally necessary for one's life. This way you'll qualify for the mercy of the Lord. And the Bhagavad Gita says, Prajahati yadakaman sarva partamanogatan. All these so-called benefits from working hard, foaming at the mouth, and acquiring material things, it is said they are concoctions of the mind, that's all. Manoratan. You got up on the chariot of the mind. Instead of rooting your feet in the solid ground of reality, you mounted the chariot of the mind. The mind is a bad master. I mean, have you ever just once in a while had a thought and then stepped back and thought, that's disgusting. The mind is disgusting. The mind reminds me of Gollum. You know Gollum? creepy, crawly thing. You cannot have victory in your life while being defeated by the willfulness of the mind. First step to having victory in your life is to control the mind. Vandiratmat manastasya yenatmaya anatmanattu sattva bharte tatmaiva sattva. Make your mind a friend by controlling it. Whenever I have an unworthy thought, and we all do, there's a juncture you come to. Are you going to feed it? Are you going to feed the mind? Are you going to go with it? Are you going to run with it? Or are you going to be disciplined? Because we all have the thoughts. But the difference between those who go higher and those who go lower is that those who go lower open the door and say, come on in. Do you like to sit with me for a while? Glass of water, something to eat. Whereas those who go higher, they control the mind. I have this technique that whenever the mind is going off in some crazy direction, I imagine just hitting my mind across the side of the head. I just imagine, and it works. It works. You might have some other technique that you use successfully, but it works for me. It's a way of my saying to the mind, stop, you know. I don't support that. You're not allowed to continue in that direction. The problem is that when the spirit goes higher, the flesh always has to go lower, isn't it? You can't allow the flesh and the mind its way and still make spiritual progress. Prajahati yadakam sarva partamanam atmani avatmana tushta stitas prajnas tadochate. Stita means you can't be situated in sense gratification and at the same time in spiritual life. They're mutually exclusive. Chanaka Pandit said, if you want sense gratification, forget about knowledge and detachment. Don't even pretend to go there. On the other hand, if you want knowledge and detachment in your life, then don't allow excessive, feverish, disproportionate sense gratification. And when you try to discipline the mind, when you try to tell the mind no, and when you try to tell the senses and the flesh no, count on the fact that they're going to have a fit. You know, no, you can't go back for that third helping of halva. No, you can't have the last word in that argument with your wife. No, you can't spend that money that you don't have with the credit card. Well, don't expect the mind to go lightly. But the good news is that the more expert that you become in curbing the mind and curbing the senses, the easier it becomes. Of course, the opposite is also true. Every time you give in to the mind, every time you give in to the senses, every time you insist on having the last word, every time you give in to anger, every time you spend that credit money that you don't have on something that you don't need, well, then it becomes easier also the next time as well. You know, ask yourself, why are some women so good at shopping? And why are some people so good at blowing their stack and getting angry, maybe in the freeway or in traffic, because they've had a lot of practice. They practice every day. So they're really, really good at that. But why are devotees calm and peaceful and not grasping? Because of practice, the same principle used in a positive way. First time you bite your tongue, it may be hard. Second time, it's not quite so hard. Third time, it's not quite so hard. Fourth time, it's not quite so hard. Eventually, it becomes second nature to let it go to go for peace instead of being right in the family. To live within your means, to live within your income. And living within your income should mean well, I can't help it. I've been in Utah for almost 40 years. And I really believe that living within your means also should mean giving 10% to the temple regularly, right off the top. I've seen it done by literally millions of people. I've seen them the happier for it. I've seen their children the happier for it. And you know what I hear over and over again? I don't miss it. And you know why they don't miss it? Because they never thought it was theirs in the first place. They didn't have to give anything to God because it was God's in the first place. See, we don't give 10% to God. We give Him 100% and He gives us 90% back. Such a deal. We have one member. He's a Mormon and he's a Krishna. He's initiated by Radhanath Swami. And he still gives 10% to the Mormon church, and he's our fourth biggest donor in Salt Lake City. And you know what he says? I don't even miss it. It just goes out automatically. It doesn't even write a check. It just goes automatically. Can you imagine the empowerment if that were a standard in our members as well? If you couldn't get initiation until you agreed to follow the regular principles, chant 16 rounds a day and give at least some percentage. Could you imagine? And the benefit would not just be to the society. In fact, that's secondary. The benefit would be to the givers for cleansing and purifying their hearts. And what an example for our children also, that when your child gets their $10 a week allowance, put $1 in the jar. Nelson Rockefeller, he said that when he was making $150 a week, he tithed. He tithed. There was a joke. A man got together with his pastor and he said, Pastor, I want to make a covenant with you as the witness. I'm going to make a covenant with God that I'm starting this new business. And I'm investing 10% of whatever I make in this new business to God in faith that He will prosper my business, because 10% will always come to Him. The pastor, you're the witness. You know the story. So fast forward a few years and his business is making $1 million a month. He's moved away to another city. Pastor gets a call. Pastor, can I fly in and see you tomorrow morning? It's an emergency. It's sure, fine. He goes to the pastor and he says, Pastor, when I made the deal that I would give 10% to God, I had no idea that I'd be giving $100,000 a month. Is there some way we can alter these terms so I don't have to give $100,000 a month? Pastor kind of put his head down. He started praying. And he looked up and he said, So, Pastor, did you ask God to give me a break that I don't have to give $100,000 a month? He said, No, I asked Him that your business go bankrupt. That way you won't have to give $100,000 a month anymore. He said, No, I don't want that. Sarva Partha Manogatam. It is all just a world of names. It is mental concoction. But it has validity. We're not naysayers. We're not against everything. We're not spiritualists falsely claiming that everything material is invalid. Devahisha gunamayi matam maya darachaya. Why is this material nature so alluring, so fascinating? That people give up everything in order to get material goods, which are now sitting, rusting among weeds in a junkyard somewhere. Why is that? Because it is Devi Shivi, even this material energy is originating from God, the supreme spiritual source. And so coming from God, it has its allure, it has its attraction. And we don't discount the things of this material world because they're temporary. Rather, we use them in the eternal service of the Lord. Anashaktasya Visham Yataram Punya Nirbanda Krishna Sambandha Yuktavaira Givujate. Who's more renounced? Someone who goes down with his shoulders slumped and always looking at the floor and give him a handshake and it's like a limp fish. And, oh, I'm just humble for the Lord. I'm just humble for the Lord. No. You know, do something. Earn something. Capture, take some ground for the kingdom, and then consecrate it to the Lord. Who's more renowned? Someone who has nothing or someone who makes $1 million and spends it for Krishna? Who's more renounced? Someone says, well, I just want to be poor for the Lord. Prabhupada said, if you walk past the Bank of America and say, I renounce the Bank of America, what's the use? Because you don't own the Bank of America in the first place. So you can't renounce the Bank of America. So you can't really renounce this world. You can renounce the selfish use of it. You can renounce the self-centered use of it. But what power, what right do we have really to renounce the world? Someone said the three types of people, they compared the three types of people that we find in general. There's a wallet with some money lying beside the road. One fellow comes and misappropriates it. He knows it belongs to somebody else. He knows that very well. But he rationalizes, oh, it's just lying here. It must be for me, you know. Or he walks by and the keys are in the car. So, you know, someone left the keys in the car for me. He takes the wallet or he takes the car. That's illicit behavior. We don't endorse that. Thievery. Another person walks by, sees the keys in the car, or sees the wallet lying on the side of the road. And he knows that it doesn't belong to him. It's somebody else has left it there. They worked hard for it. And so he doesn't take it. He doesn't steal it. Doesn't falsely appropriate. He walks on. And that's a good person. Person in the mode of goodness. But a third person comes, sees the wallet, picks it up, opens it, checks out the name, the driver's license, goes on Facebook, or calls them up, and returns the property to the owner. And that's the devotee. That's the devotee. We don't shun material possessions. We don't shun affluence or technology. We shun the selfish use of it. We have no interest in using those things to promote this temporary material body, which is, came from dust and will end up in the same way. Earth to earth, ash to ashes, dust to dust. But we're very enthusiastic. In fact, let me venture with this. The enthusiasm of a materialist to accumulate things for this body, the things themselves are temporary, the body itself will be gone in due course of time. That enthusiasm can only go so far, isn't it? I once read a psychology article that said depressed people are more in touch with material reality than optimists. Depressed people are more in touch with material reality than optimists. Because it doesn't really make sense to work hard, foam at the mouth, accumulate things, and then die. And when do you become prosperous if you're a materialist? It's not until you're old. When you're young, you're working hard, putting in long hours at the office, raising a family. And you're not really comfortable until you're like 65 or 70. You know, we travel all over the country for the Festival of Colors. And the cheapest way for us to accommodate our crew is to go to the RV parks. It's like $35 a night. And we're the only ones in the RV park that are actually Krishna-centered. Everybody else is in the RV park because now it's their time to enjoy. But they're old and their senses are dull. They've got these million-dollar motorhomes with satellite dishes. And our life is totally empty. And we're the only ones there, I feel, that have any meaning in our lives. So yeah, an intelligent person's got to be depressed to think of the material plan. The plan for material prosperity and the way that society baits you. The intelligent person would be depressed. See what I'm saying? And the optimistic person, the person who's optimistic about material goals and ambitions, is in more illusion than the depressed person. The man who is said to be the wisest man in the world said what? Vanity, 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 all is vanity. Inside this bowl that we live in, of the sky and the sun, there's nothing new. There's nothing permanent. There's nothing satisfying. There's nothing temporary. Having said that, when you realize that, hey, we're not confined or conditioned or the result of matter, but we are coming from God. We're eternal spirits. Nitya Siddha Krishna Sadhyakaranai Sravanari Sudha Chitti Kori Udai. By chanting Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Ram Hari Ram 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 Hari, the sun of Krishna consciousness rises within our hearts and we can resume that eternal service to the Lord using the temporary things of this material world to honor Him. And the result of that energy is eternal. It's imperishable. We tell people who come on Sunday for an hour, listen to a talk, have some prasadam, hear Hare Krishna. You say, your good fortune is inestimable. Trayate mahato bhayat. Just any sort of ado shara tado sadusang. Even the slightest intersection with devotional service, prasadam, sankirtan, devotees, will save one from the greatest danger. Well, can you imagine? Is there any way even to calculate the good fortune of someone who daily chants Hare Krishna, daily takes prasadam, daily associates with devotees and gives? And you can't, honestly, let's be real honest here, okay? You can't bask in the good fortune of associating with devotees, engaging in devotional service under the guidance of a spiritual master, taking prasadam, hearing and chanting the holy name, and hold back your money. Can you? Can you? Can you not give at least 2 or 5 or even totally reasonably 10% out of gratitude? Do you have no gratitude that Prabhupada came and saved you and saved your children? That now you take every penny that you have and spend it on your own personal needs? Can you do that? And still say that you're grateful in any way, shape, and form for the blessings that Prabhupada has and continues and will in the future pour on you. And you know what's the interesting thing is that when you give to Krishna, He gives you more. He doesn't assume it. He doesn't take it for granted. You give $1, you give $10. Krishna's saying, yeah, you should do. I'm God and you're my servant. Eat dirt, you know, bow down. That's exactly, you should be doing this and you should. Krishna's vairagya, He's the most renounced. He's so high-minded that when you do any little service or give any donation or take prasad, Krishna says, for me, how nice. How nice. He notes it, and He never forgets it. So considering all these points, why wouldn't you be as generous as possible with your money? And let me also say that it's not your money. We all know that. It belongs to Krishna. Return it to Him. He will be so grateful. This will take you to the next level of Krishna consciousness you cannot even imagine. And someone may say, well, true, who are you to be up here so high and mighty? And honestly, I don't seek credit. I don't seek acknowledgement or anything. But if I were to calculate it, I've probably had the honor, the privilege of being able to give $20 million to Krishna in my lifetime. And I'm telling you, nothing can compare to the thrill of being able to give it all. Taking what we minimally need as necessities only, not becoming feverish, not becoming baited by culture, not getting out of balance, taking what we need minimally and giving the rest to Krishna, recognizing that it is nirmamo nirahankara. It's not about me and it's not about mine. It's about Krishna and it's about His. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any questions? To the crazy man, Charu, who thinks that we should give more to Krishna? The radical? Yes. Well, many of these things are no longer available because we don't live a simple life. We don't live a simple life, and because we've allowed our conscience to be polluted, it's actually very hard to go somewhere where there's not satellite vibrations in the air, where you can get pure water, and where there's caves that you can live peacefully. And so because we've ignored this advice, practically speaking, it's hard to be renounced. So, you know, you find that people of means now are using their means, this is, you know, to try to undo the damage that we've done because of our feverish pursuit of excessive materialism. So I would say that our response to this is to be involved, to be active. Of course, purifying the atmosphere, purifying the land, purifying the air, saving the animal. But all that stems from impurity in here, lack of controlling the mind. Now, the first response to this is to control your mind. You may not, I don't think that you're going to address these problems, these deficiencies, by going and trying to find a clean river or a cave. But I think you will by going out and distributing books. I think you will by distributing prasadam. I think you will by making festivals. And I think you will by donating a minimum monthly regular amount. I think those are going to be much more effective means of getting us to a pristine environment, mentally, spiritually, and environmentally, than going out and finding the one river in the world that may not be polluted and living by it.
I think you kind of really answered the question, but maybe indirectly. So these sages, learned sages, they're approaching these people who are intoxicated with their hard-earned wealth, not because they're, you know, fallen themselves, but to engage them. It's to give them the opportunity, as I think Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, to engage in devotional service, right?
Exactly. Any other questions or comments? All right, thank you. Hare Krishna. Sure.